You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Daily Ticker time here on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Game two tonight. We're really excited to see if the Blazers can respond. And we're talking with a friend of the show, John Dickinson, 95.7 The Game, down in the Bay Area. He is on Twitter at JD John Dickinson. Give him a follow for all things Warriors and Bay Area sports. He's on the MVPHomeLoans.com Guild Hotline. John, thanks for joining us, man. We talked earlier for the podcast for your guys' website. What was your overall conclusion walking away from game one? I know people don't like to overreact to game one, but what did you think following game one?
Well, it was pretty much an extension of what the Warriors showed from the end of game five and game six of the Rockets series. It was Stephen Curry stepping up in Kevin Durant's absence. It was Klay Thompson along for the ride. And then it was also Draymond Green and Andre Iguodala playing exceptionally well, and the Warriors continuing to get production from their bench, which is something that's been problematic the more that those guys have had to play regular minutes throughout the course of the season. So it was pretty much as buttoned up and you know, ho-hum a victory as the Warriors have had in the playoffs, period. And it felt, you know, one of the big takeaways around here was just the fact that it really felt an awful lot like a regular season game, just mm-hmm. the intensity of it, that you know, maybe the Blazers were, you know, in a little bit of a slog, that the Warriors were certainly very comfortable. And it almost felt like a lot of the games between these two teams at Oracle Arena these last 4 or 5 years, where the Blazers will kind of hang in it, the Warriors will push out to a big lead, the Blazers will kind of get back in it, but it never really feels like the Warriors are truly threatened for the most part in any of those games. And I think Tuesday night was just kind of another example of that.
Yeah, you mentioned the regular season vibe. It's funny because I felt that same way watching it. The crowd was a little late coming in, but Portland was a little lackadaisical. And their series against Denver had a really similar feel after game one. We're like, hey, where's that intensity we've been waiting for in the playoffs? And the big issue for Portland out of game one, at least that we've seen the most complaints from fans about, is the way that they guarded Steph Curry. And I know Terry Stotts got upset after the game based on the questioning. And I'm curious to ask, because there's not really a right way to defend Steph. And that's been kind of our point the last 2 days. Now, granted, you don't want to leave him wide open, but you've been around this team all year. Is there something that teams have done that have caused him the most problem that maybe Portland can follow?
Really, it's death if you try to play it the way the Blazers played it in game one. And I know Terry Stotts responded to Anthony Slater's question, and since apologized. Mm-hmm. He was upset about it. He didn't like it. He pointed out the fact that Houston was doubling and trapping and trying to get the ball out of his hands, and he still put up the 33 in the second half of that pivotal game six. But if there's anything you can do, you're almost better off trying to trap him, honestly, and trying to be physical with him, trying to get the ball out of his hands, and then when the ball's out of his hands, just try and ragdoll him. And I think that's one of the things, just looking at this as an outsider to Portland and the way that they play, I'm not sure that they play physically enough with Stephen Curry. You have to try and throw him around. You have to try and make him work on the other end. Curry played pretty well defensively in game one as well. But when Curry has been forced to struggle, it's difficult to do. It's because he's beat up. It's because teams just really hammer him and almost dare the officials to call the fouls. There's a belief from every team's fan base thinks their guy doesn't get enough foul calls. Yeah. But that was one of the complaints, if there were any, from Warriors fans, is look at all the free throws Lillard got. Look at all the free throws Portland got. Curry doesn't get the line. Curry doesn't get the line. Well, part of that is because you're making 9 3-pointers and you're shooting a few more than that. So it's, but to the original point in question, it's got to be about physicality and just trying to get the ball out of his hands and then what you do with it once you do get the ball out of his hands.
Yeah, John Dickinson, our guest, 95-7, the game down in the Bay Area here for the Daily Ticker. Look, we're still really excited. I still actually believe Portland can come out tonight and play their best game and maybe steal a game in Golden State and come back to Portland tied 1-1. There was an article we referenced in the Chronicle right after game one from the editor basically saying, we're learning how to spell Giannis's name because this game was so boring. What's the vibe on the station with the listeners, with the fans of the Warriors? Is this series over in their minds, or do they still think there's a chance here this series can be entertaining?
Yeah, things change quickly. I mentioned this a couple of days ago with you guys. I mean, Damian Lillard is as respected as probably any other opponent the Warriors ever face, at least by the Warriors fan base, because of his ties to the Bay Area and obviously being from Oakland and growing up right by Oracle Arena. And I think there is these two teams, Zach Collins and Klay Thompson aside, they've never really had the rivalry where it's been intense and with the dislike between the two teams that maybe the Warriors have had over the years with other teams, certainly any team LeBron's been on, and the Rockets the last couple of years, and the Clippers a couple of years before that. Oklahoma City with Russell Westbrook and Durant before he wound up coming to the Bay Area. So it's been a different type of a rivalry. They've played in the playoffs a couple of times, this being the third. The Warriors have played some unbelievable games up there where Portland's either beat them or nearly beat them or blown them out, and the Warriors have kind of lost their cool a little bit inside Moda Center, as was the case in February, but there just isn't that disdain for the Blazers like there is for some other teams. That being said, the big question the last couple of days around here has been, is this going to be a four-game series or is this going to be the gentleman's sweep? The five game series where Portland gets one. I'm not really there yet, and I actually would even give Portland a chance to go back up and win two games at home just because they've been so good against the Warriors, and the games just have a different vibe up there for whatever reason. I mean, the Blazers come to play and they bring it, and it's been kind of Moda Center's been an interesting turning point at a couple of different junctures for the Warriors. They were really struggling when they came in there in late December. And got a big win, one of their most impressive wins of the year after the Blazers and the Lakers had beat them inside Oracle that week of Christmas. And then the Warriors got really hot. They won 11 straight road games beginning with that night in Portland. And that streak lasted all the way until the next time they were in Portland the night before the All-Star break where the Warriors melted down in the final 6 minutes of that game and the Blazers really poured it on them. And you remember Steve Kerr breaking the clipboard and getting kicked out of the game and the Warriors all kinds of frustrated with the officials. That actually turned toward another little lull in the season for them a couple of weeks after the All-Star break before they finally solidified themselves as the one seed in the West going into the playoffs. So I would still hold out, even if the Blazers were to lose tonight, that they could come home and win two like the Rockets did. But no, up here it's really a question of set the over-under at 4.5 as far as total games right now, and there's a lot of people, I think, leaning toward the under.
Well, and the one scary thing for Portland fans, too, is not only did you not look good in Game 1, now you got to go try and get a win in Game 2, but Golden State has Kevin Durant eventually, we think, waiting in the wings. I don't know if we've heard anything today, but any update on Kevin Durant and the Boogie just about where they're at and potentially when Golden State's expecting them back?
Yeah, I mean, Cousins is not going to play in this series. I mean, that would be a stunner. I know the Warriors did pull a little bit of a mini stunner with the young big man Damian Jones, who hadn't played since December and had really been ruled out for the most part in this entire series. I wouldn't expect a similar type of a fate with Cousins. I think he just got to the point where he's really started running and moving around. He hasn't been fully cleared for contact or 3-on-3 or anything, so I don't think he's coming back in this series. Durant is scheduled to be reevaluated really as we speak right now, so I would expect an update within the next couple of hours, probably leading right up to when Steve Kerr meets with everybody at Oracle at about 4:15 this afternoon. I would expect the update shortly before that in the next couple of hours. But, yeah, he's not going to play tonight. I think it's iffy that he plays Saturday and even Monday, to be perfectly honest, because if all things are good today in the reevaluation, he hasn't been on the court yet. He hasn't been out shooting. He hasn't been participating in practice, anything like that. So this would almost be the first step toward a return, a positive evaluation this afternoon. And I would estimate that it's still probably anywhere between 3 to 5 days after today. And if that's going to be the case, then there is that window where he would, because these games are every other day, he probably wouldn't play Game 3 or Game 4 at this point. But, do the Blazers force the Warriors maybe to put him back on the court sooner than they would want to? That's one of the key questions, I think, but they're going to have to win a couple of games if that's going to be the case here in the next three.
Yeah. John, get you out of here on this one. Who wins tonight?
I think the Warriors are going to win tonight. Better effort from the Blazers, but it's just something about Oracle. The Blazers just do not play well enough there, and the Warriors are very comfortable. I think it's a better effort, but the Warriors win to go up 2-0. I really do think, and more Curry and more Klay Thompson, but I do think it's going to be a lot better effort, and the Warriors know they're going to get a better effort and a more physical effort, I think, from the Blazers tonight.
All right, there we go. John Dickinson, 95.7, the game down in the Bay Area. Our guest here for the Ticker, talking Game 1 and Game 2, which is tonight, 6:00. John, thanks for the time, man. It was good chatting with you earlier today, and we'll talk Saturday.
All right, sounds good.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.